While in his earthly sojourn, Jesus taught his disciples many lessons. One of the lessons that Jesus taught his disciples, in capsule and then in long drawn out form, was concerning the doctrine, the person, and the ministry of the Holy Ghost. And in this third chapter of John's Gospel, he uses or implements an emblem, a picture, to teach the disciples another brief yet big lesson on the Spirit of God. And so I want to use verse number 8 this morning as my text and preach on the wind, a type of the Holy Ghost. I think, if you'll allow me, I would wax bold and say that I'm going to preach a sermon that Jesus preached. You know, we hear a lot about preachers preaching other preachers' sermons. Well, I'm going to preach the greatest preacher's sermon on the wind, a type of the Holy Ghost. Keep in mind, he's talking to Nicodemus. At this point, Nicodemus is unconverted. This amazes me. We live in an hour where so-called saved people don't even seem to understand the person and work of the Holy Ghost. Here, Jesus introduces the Spirit of God to an unconverted man. Oh, how this should help us to appreciate this message even the more. The wind bloweth where it listeth, Jesus said, where it pleaseth, where it desireth. And thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh. You don't know its point of origination. And whither it goeth. You don't know its destination. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Now, I believe there is a fivefold lesson taught in these verses on the Holy Ghost as typified by the wind. Let me begin with that word, wind, and emphasize the symbol of the Spirit of God. Now, Jesus could have chosen many different symbols and emblems, pictures, portraits, types of the Holy Ghost. But here, he chose the wind. Now, for centuries, in fact, ever since the beginning, man has tried to harness the wind and benefit from the wind. Jesus tells us how to benefit from the wind. He says, learn that the wind is a symbol, a type of the blessed Holy Ghost. Now, let me say firstly, the wind as a symbol of the Spirit reminds us of the enlivening ministry of the Spirit. Boy, on these hot summer days here in our Southland, a cool breeze is welcomed most any time. Isn't that right? I tell you, this past week we've been planting some grass, and it was so still and so lifeless and so hot and muggy, and then all of a sudden a little breeze would shoot through the yard. What a welcoming event that was. An invigorating, enlivening, quickening, reviving ministry of the wind. Similarly, the Holy Ghost, as typified by the enlivening wind, is known for enlivening hearts. I think he's saying to Nicodemus, Nicodemus, you need some life. They that are born of the flesh is flesh, but that is born of the Spirit is spirit. And the Spirit is life, life. How dare we try to teach a class without the enlivening effects of the Holy Ghost? How silly for us to attempt to sing without the enlivening, invigorating breath of God. How vain for me to stand up here and try to preach in my own energy. Oh, how we need the force, the energy, the strength of the blessed Holy Ghost. And so I believe that the wind is the symbol of the Spirit in its enlivening ministry. How refreshing a cool breeze is. And how refreshing the breeze of the Holy Ghost is. In fact, wouldn't it be blessed if in these days of meeting we might have more than singing and praying and preaching and folks visiting with us? Wouldn't it be wonderful if the Holy Ghost would be pleased to enliven us and refresh us, yea, revive our hearts in the midst of the years? Then I think the wind is a wonderful symbol of the Holy Ghost, not only in its invigorating or enlivening ministry, but in its enabling ministry. Now the wind has enabled man to benefit from its strength in many ways. What about the old windmills that our forefathers benefited from? To have some kind of force and strength available. The windmill benefited us. I thought of Orville and Wilbur, the Wright brothers. How would we know this mass transportation in the skies had Orville and Wilbur Wright not learned how to benefit from the wind and benefit from the flow and the movement of air? Why, even in our modern day, Dale Earnhardt, Richard Petty, and all the other racers enjoy a wind coming from behind them to propel, to energize, and give them more force in their racing. I say the wind is known not only for its enlivening, refreshing ministry, but for its enabling ministry. Oh, just as we need the Holy Ghost to refresh us, we need the Spirit of God to give us strength and power to do the work and the will of God. We are weak and frail. We are but dust. We are, if you want to know what weakness is, go home and look in the mirror. Amen. We are the epitome of helplessness. How frail we are. But oh, I'm glad there's help available from another country. The blessed Holy Ghost is here to enable, to strengthen, to energize, and to be the force, the driving force in our service unto God. And so this verse begins by giving us the symbol of the Holy Ghost. I want you to notice that next word. The wind bloweth. Bloweth. Here we have what I would call the stirring of the Spirit. The wind is the symbol of the Spirit, but the activity of the wind, it bloweth, represents the stirring of the Spirit of God. Now this word bloweth is synonymous with a word that we are familiar with, to breathe. Actually, we could render it like this. The wind blows its breath where it listeth. Now, there are so many ways we could approach this, but I thought it would be best maybe to illustrate the breath of God, the stirring of God. What about God breathing in Adam the breath of life? He forms him out of the dust of the earth. He fashions him as a man. But there he is, an inanimate, a substance, no activity, no movement, no motion, just a clay form. But then the Bible says, and God breathed. God breathed into him the breath of life. You talk about mouth-to-mouth resuscitation. This is just mouth-to-mouth resuscitation. This is not bringing him back to life. This is giving life. As God took Adam and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. That's the picture of conversion, the new birth. The sinner is said to be dead, dead in trespasses and in sins. The sinner is here. He exists, but he is inanimate. He is without motion. He is without life towards God. He has no response to God. He has no reaction to God. He's like Adam when God created him, just there, just there. But oh, the new birth is God breathing into the spirit of man, divine life. Hallelujah. The stirring of the Spirit then is symbolized and set forth in this word bloweth. It's pictured in the breathing of God, the life of Adam. Then I thought of another beautiful story in the book of Ezekiel. You remember the story, the valley of the dry bones? You remember that old Negro spiritual about the ankle bone not being connected to the leg bone, and the leg bone not being connected to the hip bone? And that was the case down there in that valley of dry bones. I admire Ezekiel. One of these days I'm going to preach a message on the kind of preacher that God made Ezekiel. You talk about an unusual fella. God called on him to do some very unorthodox things. But one of them was, God said, Ezekiel, I want you to go down to the valley of dry bones. And Ezekiel went down there to that valley and looked it over. As he surveyed it, the Bible tells us he noticed the bones were dry. He noticed that the bones were divided. One over here and one over here. He noticed the bones were dead. No life, no life. Sounds like the average Baptist church to me, does it, Hugh? Dry divided? Oh, brother. This being a setting aside time for election, I tell you how divisions can creep in. And yet the Lord said, Ezekiel, son of man, he called him, can these bones live? I'm glad Ezekiel didn't have some secret formula like a lot of preachers do in our day. He looked the valley over and saw the terrible situation, and he said to the Lord, Lord, thou knowest. He said, I don't know whether there's any hope for this outfit or not. But he said, Lord, you know. And so the Lord said to him, I want you to preach to the wind. One old preacher said that this meant that God told him to have a Bible conference and preach all week on the Holy Ghost. I don't know if that's how the message or not, but he said, I want you to preach to the wind, preach to the wind. And Ezekiel went to preaching. And it wasn't long till the wind began to blow. And the wind began to stir. And Ezekiel said, first of all, these bones that were divided came together. Are you listening to me? One of the signs, one of the marks, one of the evidences of the work of the Holy Ghost is when hearts which have been divided are brought together and reunited in the person of Jesus Christ. You show me where the Holy Ghost is working, and I'll show you the Holy Ghost breaking down walls of division and barriers and self-made dividers. Oh, yes. I don't know how some folks can be so divisive and be so right and cause conflict and division and then act like the Holy Ghost is blessing them. I want to tell you where the Holy Ghost is operating. He's not dividing and he's not acting ugly and he's not acting selfish. He's healing and bringing things together and uniting the divided bones. And the bones not only came together, but Ezekiel said, as I kept preaching, sinew came around the flesh. And he said, they stood up. And he said, they were a mighty army. But oh, he said, they still needed something. They'd come together. And they had gotten sinew around them again. And all these dry, bleached bodies stood up. Oh, he said, then the wind entered into them. God gave them life. And they began to march as a mighty army of God. Oh, that's the message of John 3, verse 8. The wind bloweth. The wind bloweth. The wind breatheth. The wind stirs. God is not only able to give life to those who have never had life, but God is able to give back life and reviving power to those who have lost the blessedness of life. Then Jesus goes a step further in this verse. He not only taught the symbol of the Spirit, the wind, the stirring of the Spirit, the wind bloweth, breatheth, blows its breath. But notice thirdly, he taught the sovereignty of the Spirit. The wind bloweth where it listeth. Now, I confess to you that in the last week, well, in the last month, it's been so hot, I love to have some wind blow at certain times, wouldn't you? Whether you're in the field, whether you're in the plant, or whether you're in the pulpit under the old arbor or the tabernacle, you'd like to have a little breeze blowing. But you don't stand outside and say, blow, wind! I'm going to get mad if you don't blow! No, you've got more sense than that. I've got more sense than that. We know that you don't make the wind do anything. You just learn when the wind comes to appreciate it and enjoy it and benefit from it. Oh, brother, so it is with the blessed Holy Ghost. I cannot make Him do anything. I cannot put Him in some heavenly headlock and drag Him into my situation. But like the wind, the Holy Ghost blows and breathes and stirs and moves where it listeth, where it pleaseth, where it desireth. In fact, if you'll allow me, I'd like to break this word listeth down into our phraseology of the day, or our rhetoric, our vocabulary. I believe this word, since it indicates desire, I believe that he's saying the wind blows where it wants to blow. You may want the wind to blow. Everybody else may want the wind to blow. But the wind blows where it wants to blow. If you're hot in the Columbus trial area, and I'm hot in the Saluda area, we can't get mad if somebody down around Spartanburg gets a little wind. Because the wind does what it wants to do. It takes the direction it chooses. Nobody is able to tell it what to do. No, sir. I not only think this means that the wind does what it wants to do, but the wind does what it wills to do. Could we say this? The wind has a mind of its own. Boy, how did we see that down here at Chesney in that last fierce blowing of the wind that came through there? I was with Brother Reed Cooper in a meeting, and his sister was one of the fatalities in that storm. And he took me out to that trailer where she'd lived, and then he walked me out to where they found her body, some 100 feet, maybe 150 feet from the trailer. And I was reminded that you don't tell the wind what to do. You somehow cooperate with it. Or if you get in its way, buddy, what destructive force it is. What a power it is. One person in Chesney was missing their checkbook. When they went back and tried to get everything together, they couldn't find their checkbook. And they just gave up, went to the bank and told them, "I can't find my checkbook. No telling where it's gone to." And about a week later, they went to the mailbox and their checkbook had been mailed to them from up at Cherryville, up above Shelby. A woman went out to hang out her clothes and found the checkbook laying in the backyard. And the wind had picked it up and decided to tear it until it got up above Shelby and drop it off. What are you trying to say, Brother Tom? I'm trying to tell you the wind does what it wants to do. The wind wills as it pleases. So it is with the person and ministry of the Holy Ghost. I can't harness Him and tell Him what to do. I can't make Him respond to my preaching. I can't boss Him and tell Him, "You bless this service. You've got to do something." No! I say, if it pleases You, come blow upon our garden. If You'd be pleased to help us, we'd be grateful. If You'd breeze over our hearts and blow over our spirits, we'd be thankful and appreciative. Oh, the Holy Ghost does what He wants to do and wills as He pleases. Blessed is the people. I believe He's telling Nicodemus, you don't get saved any time you want to get saved. It's when the wind blows. It's when the wind blows. And so He's taught the symbol of the Spirit, the wind. He's taught the stirring of the Spirit. It bloweth. He's taught the sovereignty of the Spirit. It bloweth where it listeth. Oh my. We're not careful. We'll think God owes us something. We'll think God ought to do something for us. We've prayed and we've invited and maybe fasted and witnessed, and all these things are important. But oh, that does not in any way put God in a yoke. God does as He pleases and as He wills. And even in these days of meeting, He's not in any way under pressure to bless these services and to move upon our hearts. Somebody said, well, we've done what we're supposed to do. Now God's supposed to do something. Hey, God does what He wants to do. And God wills as He pleases to do. And that's what He does. And blessed is the people who set their sail and wait for the Holy Ghost to blow and move upon them. And when He does, then they can make progress with it. Moving with the wind. Huh? Gone with the wind. Yes, sir. I want you to notice fourthly what Jesus taught about the sound of the Spirit. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof. Notice He did not see, and thou seest the wind thereof. Somebody said, oh, I've seen the wind before. Did you see the wind blowing over yonder? No, you didn't see the wind blowing. You just thought you saw the wind blowing. You don't see the wind. You just see the results of the wind. Yes. Unseen. The Holy Ghost, like the wind, cannot be touched. The Holy Ghost, like the wind, cannot be photographed. The Holy Ghost, like the wind, cannot be harnessed. The wind that bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, unseen. But watch it, not unheard. Thou hearest the sound thereof. How often have you laid in bed at night on a winter night and heard that wind? Blowing around the corner. Boy, you want to get up and get another quilt. Huh? I'm talking about the sound. If you went out on the porch, you wouldn't see it. But you can hear it. So it is with the person of the Holy Ghost. You can't see Him. Huh? You ever heard anybody say, watch God now? You can't watch God. You'll have to listen to God. Yeah. Thou hearest the sound thereof. Now I thought of Elijah. He was up on the Mount of God, Mount Horeb. And Elijah said, there was an earthquake and it shook the mountain, broke the rocks in pieces. But God was not in the wind, or not in the earthquake. And then there was a wind that just blew on the mountain. But God was not in the wind. That's what Elijah said. But he said after the earthquake and after the wind, there was a fire. Boy, and he said, I looked for God in the fire. But God wasn't in the fire. Well, Elijah, where did you find God? Where did you encounter God? Elijah said He wasn't in the wind. He wasn't in the earthquake. He wasn't in the fire. You know, there's a lot of folks looking for God in the unusual. They don't think God's around unless you have an earthquake of the service. Boy, if the thing doesn't just shake and crumble, then God's not around. And then some think you got to have fire. Boy, I believe in the fire, they'll say. You got to have fire. Hey, there's a lot of fire God's not in.
Amen.
Then some think if they can get a big wind, a big howling tornado come through. Boy, God's going to move. I can feel it. It's a coming. I grabbed the current of the wind. But God wasn't in the wind, Elijah said. He wasn't in the earthquake. He wasn't in the fire. Well, Elijah, where did you locate him? He said, then, a still, small voice. This word that we have in John chapter 3, sound, is our word for voice. Thou hearest the sound, the voice thereof. You know the wind had a voice? Jesus said, you hear the voice of the wind. Oh, so it is with the Holy Ghost. Did you know He had a voice? What preaching cannot do. And my soul, God knows if preaching would do it, I'd have the evidence. I preach just about every night of my life and twice on Sunday and some mornings through the week. And they're playing my tapes on different radio stations. And if preaching got the job done, buddy, I'd have the fruit. I'd have the produce. I'd have much to show. But that's not the answer. Preaching is not the answer. Preaching does not get down in people's hearts. Preaching does not change lives. Singing does not get down in people's hearts. Singing does not change lives. All the other activities of the church, they're all good. They're all, many of them, God ordained. I believe some of them probably we came up with. But I'm saying they all may have their place and they all may have their time. But oh, brother, go beyond preaching. Go beyond singing. Go beyond praying. Go beyond reading that Bible. Go beyond a good service. Go beyond a good feeling. And listen closely. There's a still small voice that goes further than earthquakes and goes further than winds and burns deeper than fires and shakes up more than the most turbulent wind. The voice of the Holy Ghost is able to get down deep in the inside of man's nature and make turbulence in his soul and give him a new interest in God and heaven and holy things. I'm talking about the wind. Thou hearest the sound. At 6 years of age, when I first heard the sound, let me throw this in, this comes to me. David said, blessed are the people that know the joyful sound. I've only heard one man in my life preach on that. And it was in a gigantic church, and he got lit up and shouted right in the middle of it. Boy, I enjoyed that. I was with him. Blessed are the people who know the joyful sound. And Jesus said the wind has a voice. Elijah said the Holy Ghost has a voice. It's a still, small voice. And my voice is loud and boisterous. My wife is constantly telling me, shh, it's loud. We'll go out and do a restaurant. I'll get to talking. I reckon I have a little hearing problem. My granddaddy did. My daddy does. I reckon I got one. I think I got to holler for people to hear me. And my wife's elbowing me and giving me this. And I believe at times I've been too loud in the pulpit. Had a little old boy come up to me several years ago. He said, why do you holler so loud? Another little young one said to the mom and dad, said, why's a preacher mad? And well, that loud voice, they knew that's when mom and daddy got mad, I reckon. But listen, the Holy Ghost comes in calmness. The Holy Ghost comes in stillness. In the stillness of the midnight hour, whether you're there in guilt or whether you're there in worship, the Holy Ghost comes in the stillness. And notice it's a small voice. God does not have to boom out. and thunder like He did at Sinai to get our attention. But the Holy Ghost is able to slip in the most small crevice in our life and just whisper a word. And it melts down our kingdoms. And it tears down our dream worlds. And we come face to face with the rule and the kingdom of God. I'm talking about the sound of the Spirit. The inner work of the Holy Ghost. Boy, well, the preacher's hollering like me and spitting on the first two rows. Walking on about 3 inches of his breeches leg. Or whether he's just a whispering. The Holy Ghost talks. He goes beyond the loud voice. He goes beyond the whisper. And He gets down into the inner chamber. Hallelujah. A still small voice of God. Let me try to hush. I want you to see Lysland. Y'all forgive me for being so smart here. Such a smart aleck. I like this thought. Because it tickles me to death when the weathermen mess up. They sound, I reckon it's because they sound so authoritative. With their charts and their maps. And the wind's coming in here. And then the next morning they come on and say, well, the wind changed this direction overnight. And I get amused at them trying to tell fellas how to fish. I don't go out on the lake because the wind will not be calm to 6 o'clock in the morning. Like you was going to go out there with waves 2 feet high. They so authoritative, you know. They got all the hey, weathermen in here. But Jesus said, there's something secret about the activity of the Holy Ghost. I close with this. He said, thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh. You do not know where the wind comes from. Oh, we think we can trace it and with all of our weather charts and with all of our update high-tech insight. I want to tell you, Jesus has more authority than Charlie does. That's right. And Jesus has got more authority than any of the rest of the weathermen. Listen to me. The wind blows where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh. Here I think He's talking about the secrecy of the Spirit. Can I call this His unperceivable work? And you know, we get some crazy ideas. We'll hear somebody really pray. You know, we'll say, did you hear him pray? My, my, my. Boy, God's going to work through him in the service tonight. And you get in the service, and that fella may sleep through it. And God come through some other channel and move through some other channel. We'll see somebody crying. This old boy, God's working on them. And they may just have indigestion. I'm saying we get all these things in our mind. God's going to do it this way. God's going to do it this way. But the wind blows where at least you hear the sound, but you do not know from whence it comes. That's right. I've been in a service and an absolute stranger walk in and God channeled through that individual and bypass those of us who are supposed to be in the flow of the meeting. You don't know where the wind's going to blow from. It's unperceivable. Watch it now. He says you not only know where it, don't know whither it comes from, but you know not whither it goeth. It's unpredictable. It's unperceivable. You can't figure out where it's come from. It's unpredictable. You don't know where it's going. We may think we know. Oh, how He uses the channels of His choosing. I'm talking to you about the wind, a type of the blessed Holy Ghost. I've thought much in the last couple of weeks about Evangelist Manly Beasley. He just recently went home to be with the Lord. And God made some impressions in my life through that man. And I'll never forget a story he gave of a meeting he was in Louisiana. Most of his ministry was Louisiana, Texas, Arkansas. Of course, he was all over the nation, but that was the main area of his ministry. And Brother Beasley said he was in a meeting in Louisiana. And on Thursday night, he said that meeting just broke wide open. People got saved. People got right with God. And he said, I knew that I had not been under a prayer burden for that meeting. He said, I just didn't have it. And he said, I knew God didn't channel through me. So he said, I asked the pastor if he had been under a prayer burden, maybe been fasting or something. The pastor said, no, Brother Manley, I haven't. So he said that excluded both of us preachers. So he said, I decided on Friday night that I'd get up and ask, does anyone here feel like that God channeled through you to break in on us last night? He said, I just can't get over what God did for us last evening. Brother Beasley said on the tape, he said it continued to live until that day. What had happened that one Thursday night? And he said afterwards, a little woman came up to him and said, Brother Beasley, I'd like to speak to you. He said, certainly. And so they went over to the side, sat down on the seat. And she began to tell him what had happened on Thursday morning and all of Wednesday night. She said, Brother Beasley, I went in to get my daughter up for school on Thursday morning, my 9-year-old daughter. And said, she said to me, Mom, I can't go to school today. I'm too tired. She said, well, honey, you slept all night. And then she turned around and saw her face. And she said, no, Mom, I've been up all night. She said, well, honey, what have you been doing all night? She said, I've never had anything like this happen, but Mom, I've been praying all night. She said, in fact, I got such a burden for the world, that I went in the living room and got our globe. And I brought it back here in the bedroom. And Mom, I've been turning that globe all night and praying for all the nations of the world. And her mother said, Brother Beasley, there beneath the globe was a big puddle of tears where she had wept. She said, I don't know, but I think that might have been the channel that God used to break in on this meeting. I'm telling you, brother, God does what we don't expect. He comes from directions we're not looking for it. And He goes in motions that we don't expect. He's unpredictable. The Holy Ghost is like the wind. May the Holy Ghost be pleased in these days to blow up on us. Come in our direction as we move from service to service. You interested in that? I am too. Would you stand with me?